The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it, it's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
First Red Sox game against the Yankees this season. Walker Buehler gets bombed in the Bronx. 5 runs in the first inning, 2 more in the second inning. That's all he pitched. Those 2 innings, the Red Sox offense made a valiant effort. Devers hit his mandatory home run. Wasn't enough. I am Terry Cushman, joined tonight by Jeremy Schilling, Jim Delfino. More of the same, guys.
Well, yeah, look, the only thing I can say is...
Sorry, Jeremy. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jim.
No, go ahead.
The only thing Terry sometimes will ask us how we're doing, and my answer tonight was going to be, I'm actually doing okay. Because my expectation for this team has hit the absolute rock bottom, so I'm not upset. This is what you should come to expect, is an absolute dumpster fire that's been rolling downhill since opening day. And if you're sitting there upset, and then you still had an expectation coming into the series that they were going to be a competitive ball club. I did not. And as a result, I'm perfectly fine. And here to talk about the absolute egg they laid tonight.
You can say shit show. Charlie's not here.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Well, you know, what I've done is I've looked at it from the 5 stages of emotional grief for Red Sox fans. The first thing that happens is denial, right? This team can't really be this bad. They've got to be much better than that. They're going to be much better than that. Then there's anger. Why are we losing games like we are? Why is the pitching staff blow? Why is the bullpen full of gutless bums? Why is this one not hitting? Why is that one not hitting? Then it's bargaining, right? Please, can you win a ball game? Please, can we get some good pitching for one? Can we hit with runners in scoring position? Can we stop leaving guys at third with less than 2 outs? Then it's depression. This damn team, here we go again. It's the same old thing. I can't believe we've got another lost season on our hands. And now we're into acceptance. Like Jeremy just said,
100%.
At this point, it's like you kind of knew this was going to happen going in. I figured Buehler was going to give up at least 3 or 4 in the first 2 innings. Unfortunately, I was right. So I've accepted the fact that this team blows, and there's just no way to fix it. I truly believe it.
Yeah, I mean, Walker Buehler is. I posted on Twitter and I put Buehler and Corey Kluber's picture next to each other. And you know that meme from The Office where the chick goes, it's the same picture. You know, people were doing that with Casas and Dahlbeck for a little while earlier on before he messed his knee up. And so that's where we're at with Buehler right now. And I did some math earlier. The Red Sox rotation, and Jim, you touched on this last episode. I don't remember if you gave the exact stat. Without Crochet, this rotation has a 5.24 ERA. That's without Crochet. With Crochet, we were the number 23rd ranked rotation in Major League Baseball. And this was after the five-run first inning. That's when I did the input. So theoretically, it's a little worse because Buehler put up two more in the second inning, but roughly a 4.42 ERA. That's 23rd worst in Major League Baseball.
Well, look, it's more of the same, you know, story with his typical couple strikeouts. I mean, you could basically go on a DraftKings and bet on that at this point, and you'd probably end up the season a billionaire. You know, Rafaela 0-for-4. I mean, it's, you know, it's very difficult when you got guys like, I mean, I love Navarez. He's been probably the only, out of him and Crochet have been, you know, kind of the bright spots for the season. But, you know, when you got a guy like that who's a rookie that's batting fourth, you know, what are your expectations? You got Toro batting fifth. Here's a guy that wasn't on your team in a month and a half ago. Meyer has been in the fourth spot. Then he's not hitting against left-handers. How do you expect him to get better? It's just more of the same. I mean, they're just really circling the drain at this point. And frankly, I don't know if you can fix this season, because the reality is there's too much that needs to be done. Even if you get Alex Bregman back, which would be a huge boost, how is that fixing your pitching staff? How's it fixing everybody not named Garrett Crochet? It's not, and it's not going to be. Outside of him and Chapman, there's not been much, you know, in as it relates to confidence with our pitching staff.
Guys, if you could get some truth serum into Garrett Crochet, what's he saying?
Why did I come here?
Well, I mean, maybe he's not saying that, but because he came from the White Sox, which was impossibly bad to what we are, which is barely functional big league club. But the pressure on him has to be tremendous for tomorrow. And I know we're going to talk about the game tomorrow at the end of the recording, but the pressure being mounted on him to get through seven, to be the stopper, has to be tremendous. And we're never obviously going to know when I think he's smart enough not to go into the media and blow up the team, but he's got to just be extremely frustrated, not only with his fellow pitching staff, but the fact that they don't hit when he pitches. It's just got to be so frustrating. So, I mean, you know, here's how I put it, okay? And Johnny and Jules and Chris, we see your comments. They are making me laugh here, but do what I do, guys. Bet on the other team, which I started doing 8 days ago, and it's working out pretty good. At least I'm making a little bit of money while my team sucks.
You know, you mentioned Crochet. He might be a little confused at this point. He's like, wait a minute. Am I in Boston or Chicago? Wait, which White Sox, which Sox team is this? Because he doesn't have much of an offense in there. You know, you've got Devers as your Luis Robert, only a little bit healthier, you know, and one or two other hitters, and that's about it. And, you know, you guys have called it. I'm not quite ready to call it. I'm close. I'm like CNN on election night. You know, nope, not calling it. Not calling it. I'll wait till 7 a.m. And that's for Johnny, by the way. And so I'm going to get there. And
I haven't 100% called it either.
Oh, okay. So you're MSNBC.
I mean, I'm on the verge. I mean, it could be, if they get swept, it could be Sunday.
Listen, you can't, there's not any one thing you can change that's going to change the trajectory, really, in terms of the roster. What I would try to do at this point is change the vibe. And new manager, probably a new pitching coach. I've kind of, as much as I get down on Peter Fatsy, Andrew Bailey has to go. Bailey's my number one choice for the rest of the season. And I'll probably make some snide remarks about Fatsy, but Walker Buehler shouldn't be pitching this bad. We shouldn't have the 23rd worst rotation in Major League Baseball. Everybody's regressed. Houck regressed. Bayo has regressed. Buehler is looking like Corey Kluber, as I said, and I wasn't really being sarcastic about that. Go ahead.
That was a good tweet. I mean, look, in the last four games, we've had three with five runs or more in the first inning.
That sounds right.
That's not functional. And that's on Bailey. What is going on with how these pitchers are prepared for a game? I am not a fire coach mid-season guy. I think if it creates a spark, it's a short-term spark. We talked about this last week. But at this point, with the implosion that's taken place this week, I'm firmly on the Bailey's got to go bandwagon. Something has to change. Even if it's a short-term spark with the pitching staff, at this point, it has to be anything. This is not functional big league pitching. You can't give up five runs in the first. You can't. And Crochet, as good as he's been, he, you know, gave up a home run last start and gives back a run really quickly in that when the Sox had three quick ones. So something's got to change. It's unbelievable that they can't get through the first inning without. It's just impossible. It's so frustrating. It makes the games not fun to watch, by the way. And here's the one thing I'll say. They fought back and won the game on Wednesday against Anaheim, and they fought back tonight, but you just can't keep asking your lineup to do that, especially this lineup.
Yeah, the lineup's just not good enough to sustain that every single night. But to your point on the pitching, too, with Andrew Bailey, he was touted as coming in on this staff to be the golden ticket boy of him and Breslow to turn the pitching staff around. And if you recall the beginning of last season where they were doing exceptionally well, everybody was patting themselves on the back, every Red Sox fan, everyone on Red Sox Twitter, that this was fantastic and he was great. And then once all these guys were spinning the ball and every other team realized that's all they're doing is spin rate, spin rate, spin rate, well, they wound up realizing that they can, you know, just gear up for an off-speed pitch, and they're going to wind up being able to hit those out of the ballpark and around the park. So that only worked so long. This season, why is, you know, to what you said, Jeremy, and I said that I brought this up the other day, who on this team has really taken the next step forward? And if we just isolate the pitching staff alone, you know, last season at this point, you were having Tanner Houck, who was going to be an all-star, who's out of your rotation now and hurt. You know, and look at the guys that you've had leave this organization. What do Nathan Eovaldi, Chris Sale, Quinn Priester, and Nick Pivetta have in common? They're all having pretty good seasons, maybe Sale so-so, but they've been much better out of the Red Sox organization at this point. And what's the common denominator here? Red Sox, Andrew Bailey, and the pitching staff, or the, yeah, you know, the management and the coaches.
That's a really good point, because Eovaldi, you're going back a ways, but Pivetta, a recent departure, Chris Sale, recent departure. Last I checked, Priester wasn't doing great, but if you're comparing him to this rotation, he would be doing spectacular. Let's see what he's at right now. He got traded to the Brewers. And he has, he's doing better than I thought. A 3.88 ERA. And that's 55 innings pitched on the season. So
it's a good sample size.
Yeah. The strikeouts, though, this is the interesting thing, though, and I'm not in love with this. 36 strikeouts in 55 innings. So he must be pitching to contact quite a bit. But but anyway, by Red Sox standards here, he's doing a little bit better. Yeah, 5.8 strikeout per nine. That's well below league average. Yeah, 7 strikeouts 3 games ago. That's pretty good. None the game after that. 4 in his last outing. So the Brewers have a very good pitching program, and who knows? I mean, he could have a very good second half where he's, you know, firing on all cylinders.
But, Terry, you know, if you look at just the rotation alone, you know, just flipping through here, Walker Buehler's now got an ERA over 5, right? You've got Tanner Houck had an ERA over 8. You had Newcomb, who had an ERA over 4 that's gone. You know, you have Crochet's got under 2. That's fine. Bayo's got an ERA of 3.86 himself. So, I mean, Priester fits right into that scenario. He's one of the better pitching, one of the better starters on this staff. That's how bad this rotation is becoming. And it's costing you a fortune. You have Buehler and Giolito making almost $40 million this year, if that's correct. I mean, that's ridiculous. And they didn't want to go the extra year on a guy like Fried. And now you've got, you know, the same old revolving door of gutless starters is what I'm going to call it, from the Garrett Richard days to James Paxton, Corey Kluber. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of people that we're just paying to rehab and then start and then just vomiting all over themselves.
Real quick on
one of the reasons why
I was just going to give a stat, but that's fine.
Mine's more of a take, and then you can give your stat, I guess. But the reason why this team isn't primed to turn it around is even if you get better pitching, the amount of pressure just by pure innings and number of pitches thrown on this bullpen is off the charts. I know you had the day off yesterday, and I know you have Crochet tomorrow, but 2 innings from your starter. The Angels starting pitching was absolutely awful. Again, 2 games out of 3 where they give up 5 in the first inning. It's untenable. I'm telling you right now, gear up in the next 2 weeks. You're going to get multiple injuries in the bullpen. Our depth is already tested. Guys like Guerrero are already up. Criswell's throwing innings, trying to keep you in the game. It's on Bernardino. He's a guy I'm worried about. Pitching way too many innings, way too many appearances. I mean, you already, I'm spacing it on his name, right-handed Slayton. Sorry. Slayton just got hurt. I mean, guys, it's going to happen. The injuries are going to start to mount. And even if you fix the starting pitching and they find some 5-6 inning starts in there, the bullpen's just blown through. It's unbelievable. It's pathetic. It's what it is.
So, quote from Buehler, doing his best Chris Sale impression. He said, this is post game. This organization has put a lot of faith in me this offseason, and I've been a bleeping embarrassment for us. Since coming back from the injury, tonight was his 4th start. He has an 8.40 ERA. Since coming back. So I don't think he's hurt. And I'm not saying the injury had much to do with it, but it was kind of a turning point there. Also, I was kind of looking at, normally I'm not this stat heavy, but the Red Sox rotation has, there's 13 other teams that have pitched more. So we're kind of middle of the pack to where the bullpens kind of had to shoulder a lot of the heavy lifting. And getting back to my earlier take, you know, if you get a new manager in there, maybe replace one of the coaches with him. I was just mentioning Bailey. Maybe it just changes the vibe a little bit. Maybe they're focused a little bit more. Maybe a few of the guys aren't putting as much pressure on themselves. And I would get Anthony up, not necessarily to help, but to just get him acclimated. The earlier you get him up, the better off he's going to be next year. So you may as well do it. Just get him up here and just see what happens. you know, the pipe dream scenario, you're the Tigers from 2024. That's probably not going to happen, obviously, but that's what I would do.
I'm starting to go the other way on that. Why bring him up in this, put all that, he's going to probably have to hit fourth or fifth, tremendous amount of pressure for what? The way this thing's going, it's you're setting him up to have a potential Campbell issue on your hands.
Well, go back to 2014. I mean, it seems like recently, but it's not. That was when Mookie got called up, which was about midsummer, and I think that served him pretty well. And you look at his 2015 numbers. I don't think he was an all-star. I don't have him up, but
where was the team when he got called up? Sorry,
we Jim. we were in last place.
Okay.
How many other rookies were called up with him that season?
I don't know. We had a lot of, like, I think Barnes made his debut. Right,
but I'm talking about position players, because the reality is you bring up one guy, it's not a big thing. This would be the third guy that you're going to bring up at this time, and I just can't see the Red Sox even looking at saying this season is salvageable and putting the stress on Anthony now and saying, well, you know what? Campbell couldn't save us from the beginning of the year. Marcelo Meyer's certainly not going to put us on his back, so let's bring up Anthony. They're not going to do it because they're going to be all worried about service time. So they're going to have to say to themselves, look, we are with service time, it has to be that they're on a major league roster for 45 days or less in a season. So you are not going to see him until, what is it, late August. I think that's what you're going to see, because then they're going to still maintain that extra year of control. So don't bet on him coming up at any time soon.
If you're counting Tavares, if you bring up Anthony, you're 4 out of 5 of your hitters in your lineup are rookie, and Campbell really needs to be sent down at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeremy, and I wrote that, I think, in the war room. I said, you know what? If the Red Sox didn't sign him to this deal, I think he'd already be brought down. I mean, look, the Orioles did it with Holiday. You know, they did it with Holiday. I mean, they didn't give any money at that point yet, but he wasn't ready. They brought him back down, and they brought him back up. So that's the problem. He started out very strong, and I think the Red Sox red-socked him by moving him around. You're going to play center. You're going to play left. So they screwed this kid up. I just hope he's not done mentally forever. But the bottom line is that when you got to start trying to figure out the different positions on the field and understand the intangibles of being a center fielder, being a second baseman, how the balls are going to come off certain bats of certain players, learning their tendencies and putting yourself in rookie status on top of that and trying to be able to figure out how to hit the major league level, it's way too much pressure. And that's what's going to happen. And they're going to do the same thing with Meyer too if they continue to have him at third base and then maybe play short and back and forth. That's why I said before that Story should be out of the shortstop position. But I have a quick stat that I want to share with you guys. Garrett Crochet, Garrett Whitlock, Greg Weissert, Aroldis Chapman, Brennan Bernardino, Justin Slayton, and Justin Wilson are the only pitchers on this staff who have more innings pitched than hits allowed. It's not good.
It's not. And getting back to my Anthony take real quick, it makes more sense if you get rid of the manager, because you're already seeing him platoon Meyer a little bit. And so I don't, if Cora's still here, I don't think it's as critical, but you know, we keep saying let the kids play, and I would, if you get rid of the manager and you know you're gonna sell off some guys, Chapman, I would have said Buehler, but maybe one or two other short term guys, that's gonna be a very low pressure atmosphere after that. So
yeah, but that's after the trade deadline, to Jim's point.
It is, yeah. Well, yeah. Some of those guys could get peddled off a little bit sooner, but yeah, I don't know. But I would definitely try to change the vibe and see what happens.
I think you've got to be extremely irritated at the Red Sox for sitting Meyer in those two games back to back as a rookie call up and he's on the bench. If you're bringing these guys up, and I understand Campbell has struggled, that's besides the point, but Meyer was here for a week and gets 2 days off. You can't do that. You've got to play these guys. You're playing Abraham Toro over Marcelo Meyer, who was your first round draft pick and fourth pick overall in that 2020 draft or 21 draft. How could you do that? That is absolutely ridiculous to have him sit. How is he supposed to even get a chance against left-handed pitching to see if you've got a guy that can handle both left and right-handed pitching? You can't platoon every single player on this roster. He platoons everybody outside of Devers and Duran at this point. I mean, it's just ridiculous. They're not going to get better by being a complete team of platoon players. If that's the case, then just get rid of everybody on this team and start fresh. And it all starts from the top down. They've got to get rid of Sam Kennedy. They've got to get rid of they probably should get rid of Breslow. Get rid of Cora and really completely redo this whole entire line management and ownership and players. It's getting ridiculous. I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel if this keeps going. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, and there's absolutely nothing they're doing different here.
Yeah, I mean, that's a product of them being completely tied into the analytics. It's not about player development. It's not about, obviously, the eye test. It's not about who's hot, who's swinging it well. Mayer had a home run tonight, and then he gets pinch hit for. So it's just, you're so tied, you're so married to the analytics that there's no application of what does this do for a young player's ability to be a long-term solution here. There's none of it's being applied. None of it. And by the way, I know I'm old school and I don't love analytics. I know it has a place. But when I get the feeling that you're managing based on numbers on a spreadsheet, it drives me absolutely nuts because it's okay to let Meyer hit there and fail. You're going to lose the game anyways. And I understand Romy came in and got the hit and it looked like the right move in the moment. But to your point, Jim, if Mayer's going to be the shortstop of your club for the next 10 years, he's going to have to hit lefties. So the analytics are just overly applied in this organization. It's another thing that drives me up a tree.
Meyer has okay numbers against lefties through the minors. So there's no data that says he's a platoon guy and should only face righties.
He's with Alex Cora and the major league staff now. That's the problem. They're getting the opportunities in the minors because they need it. And then they come up to the major league roster. And all you're going to do by doing this and sitting a guy like that is just basically ruin his morale. It's not going to help. He's not going to get better at the major league level watching the game in the dugout. It's just not going to happen. So, I mean, I just don't understand where you go from here to improve this team. I mean, you are a month away. You're 7 weeks away from the trading deadline. Are you serious that you're going to add to this? I know we talked about a few different options earlier on a couple weeks ago, but when you really stop and look at this mess, why would you even want to try to? Where are you going to go with this? You got two guys playing first. There are backups. They say Bregman's going to come back probably sooner than later. What do you do then? He's going to play third, and are you going to put Meyer at short, or are you going to bring him down or be a bench player for Story again? They have so many freaking problems that it's ridiculous on this team. And they have a backup catcher that blows. There's nobody good here that they can actually even try to improve upon. I don't know where you would start. You can't put Devers at first. Get it. Yoshida, what's he doing right now? Is he just in the Grand Canyon? I mean, I don't know. He's taking vacations left and right. There's nowhere to fix this team at all.
Jim, the only hope is that the current roster performs at a higher level. And there's no indication that's going to happen. But for anybody that thinks that this thing's going to get turned around, that's the only way. If they wanted to address first base outside the organization, they would have already done it. That's not who they are. Henry doesn't want to add payroll. Guys, that's what's real. If we're sitting here next Friday night talking again, and there's six games to be played, and we're 5-6 in that period of time, It's because Devers hitting, Duran's hitting, Crochet pitches well tomorrow. You know, Narvaez continues to play at a high level. Toro, who's been kind of, I know he's not super talented, and I don't think he's necessarily a long-term big league player, but he's going to continue to hit. You're going to get Campbell out of his funk. Those are the things that need to happen because it's the roster ain't changing. This is what we got. This
You're
is
absolutely
it.
Right. So, you're absolutely right. I mean, SportsTrack has an adjusted payroll for the 25 season at just under $200 million, shy of $200
million. No, that's way million. Off.
I'm sure it is. But here's my point. This team, whether I don't care if it's 180 to 220, they are not performing like a team that should be in this position. With the resources they have, the money that they have, they should never be a team that is under 500. And this is continuously to go on again. And if they don't watch themselves, they're going to finish dead last another season.
They're only 3.5 ahead of the Orioles. So, and I think the Orioles are kind of, well, their pitching is bad. So maybe they are just bad. I was about to say they're kind of just playing on their floor and could conceivably be better. But with analytics, it just seems like analytics is anti-development. Because when you hit them with the analytics right away, you're already defining them, saying you are this player. And I'd rather see the analytics on the pitching side versus the hitting side. And so, again, I don't know. Breslow tonight was in Worcester. That's interesting because he doesn't want to be near Alex Cora, but he's away from the front office. If you remember the last half of 2023, Heim was seldom really at Fenway. He was always, either in Worcester or Portland. So I don't really know where to go from here. Who's Crochet playing tomorrow?
You take Crochet out of this rotation and the Red Sox are in last place. It's 5-game difference between your Orioles. 5-game difference of 5 wins, 4 in the loss column. You're in last place. He's basically keeping you out of last place. That's how bad this team is.
It's bad. And, they keep showing up every night and we're still getting errors. Nothing is in sync. And, you thought after Buehler's last start, maybe they have a plan for this one. No plan, but so Crochet is going to face, I think, an ex-Tampa Bay Ray, Ryan Yarbrough. Yarbrough is actually pitching pretty good on the season, 2.83 ERA in 41 and one-third innings pitched. He's got 40 strikeouts, a whip, just literally a tick under one. I don't know what the Yankees have figured out with him, but he's pitching pretty good, and I don't know what his career numbers are against the Red Sox. He's probably pitched some innings, but I just have a feeling the bats probably won't be there.
We've faced him quite a number of times when he was with Tampa Bay. And I want to say I don't know who he was with before that, but they've done fairly well against him. But again, it wasn't this squad. So who the hell knows? But, just getting back to your point about the errors, 2 more errors tonight. I mean, Story Camp is working out really well. That's all I can tell you.
I mean, one of them was from Toro, so
I can't wait for. I wonder how ticket sales are for Story Camp 26.
I don't know. Thoughts on the game, Jeremy? Before we wrap,
Yanks.
For you too. Okay, I see where you're going. Yeah,
another
number
one
18 loss. On the season. Well, all right. Lots of snide remarks tonight. We're done until Sunday. We won't pitch that good. Come on. But we'll be back Sunday to talk about what happens there. Later start, though, because ESPN. We're gonna put this circus act on national television that night. So, everyone, take care.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.